Welcome, everybody, to yet another episode of the African Football Unfiltered podcast. It's me, yours truly, Kamohelo Motsetswane, and I am here yet again with another episode. If this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you. If you're a returning listener, we appreciate the support. To those that are here for the first time, please hit that like button and subscribe to the podcast, because we have brilliant guests all the time. And today I am in the presence of greatness, you know what I mean? So she's a phenomenal woman in the football space. Actually, the introduction I might do for her is, it actually won't do any justice to what she's accomplished in the football space. A WAFCON winner, she's represented the country as a coach at the Olympics as well. And she's done a lot of things in the African football space. So with no further ado, I'd like to welcome our latest guest to the show, Dr. Desiree Ellis. How are you doing today?
Hi, Kamohelo. Thanks for having me, and welcome to the viewers and listeners.
It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. So thank you, yeah, so much again for gracing us with your presence. I know your schedule is very hectic. You're coming off a back of some quality games against Lesotho. If we can just dive straight into it, how were those games, and how did you see them? You know, as from a coaching perspective, considering that you integrated so many new and young players into the team.
Look, the plan was to use this window. You know, last year November and the year before, we had huge challenges with players being injured. You know, players writing exams, matric and university exams. Players not available due to visa and residence permit issues, and players playing in countries abroad who had finals over the period. So two successive years and the same window, we had challenges. So, you know, we decided to go with this group of players. We had six U17s, we had about six or seven under 20s, and we had a few older players, players that played at COSAFA, players that, you know, stood out in the league last year. So we wanted to bring them in the environment of the national team and see how they cope, you know. And it was very encouraging and very enlightening, because the enthusiasm showed by the younger ones, you know, eager to learn, eager to show. But you cannot do everything within a week. You know, we wanted to show, you know, help them along in the way we do things in camp, as well as the way we want to play. And I'm sure sometimes you saw that and sometimes you didn't, but that's a process.
Fantastic. Yeah, a 1-0 win and a 2-0 win against Lesotho to prepare for the WAFCON. Is there anybody in particular? I know coaches are always very hesitant to spotlight individuals, but is there anybody?
No, we don't. We don't spotlight individuals, because it's sort of just not put them under pressure. The six under-17s, you know, that was in our camp, is obviously, you know, some of them that selected for the upcoming camp, for the match against Nigeria in the qualifier. And we also not just wanted to bring them in to see, but also wanted to assist the coach, you know, so she could call in more players in her camp to have a look at.
Yeah, it's nice to see that, you know, there's kind of a seamless, you know, a conveyor belt of players, you know, coming through the youth development and then to the first team. Just speaking about Lesotho, obviously, you know, it's always impressive to beat opposition, whatever level that you're at. But, you know, in preparation for a tournament like WAFCON, although you guys are reigning champions, would you prefer, or do you prefer that, you know, you guys play quality opposition, with all due respect to Lesotho?
No, I understand, but we wanted to use this for this window, to get a team that's us in challenging those players. And that's why we went with Lesotho. But we have two windows. March, April, we have a window where we're looking at stronger opposition. May, June, we have a window. We were also looking at stronger opposition. Remember, we played England, Denmark, Jamaica twice last year. We played Senegal as well. So we had reasonably strong opposition last year as well. So we're looking at strong opposition again going forward. And then obviously the preparation for the WAFCON and then the tournament itself. But this was the only window that we could utilize to have a look at that group of players separately on their own. And we wanted to make sure that we bring a strong enough opponent so that they can be challenged, you know, but they can also show they showcase their talent and showcase their skill and what they've learned over the past. We can make no mistake, there was huge progress. So I think, you know, South Africa can be proud and not be too harsh on the group of players, because for any team, it takes time, you know, sometimes months, sometimes years to see things happening, because you're bringing a whole group of new players and some of them have never been at the Banyana camp.
Yeah, that's good to hear that, you know, there was a special place made for the new players. But with regards to the WAFCON, I just like to take it back. Maybe last, I think it was last year. You guys played Nigeria in the Olympic qualifier. Unfortunately, you weren't able to win in the over the two legs. But not qualifying for the Olympics. How much of that is a motivating factor going into the WAFCON?
It's always a big motivating factor if you don't do well. You use that as a stepping stone. I remember coming from the World Cup in 2019 and losing to Botswana, where we should have probably won 7 or 8 nil with all the chances we had. When I was with Coach Vieira in 2014 in Namibia, we lost the third place playoff to go to the World Cup, and you don't want to feel like that again. And when we got to the quarterfinal of the 2022 AFCON, winning that would take us to the World Cup, and we didn't want to be put in another playoff match where we needed to then play off at all costs. And we wanted to make sure, that we get over the hurdle, irrespective of everything that happened in camp with COVID, with the injury to Tembe, etc. We wanted to make sure that we do that. And qualifying for the World Cup took a lot of pressure off us because we still had a semi-final and a final in AFCON. But it is a motivating factor. That feeling is not great. You lie awake and you think, if we scored here, if we scored there, you lie. And I'm sure it's in the back of our minds. We have to get over it though, as soon as possible, because something else comes up.
Definitely. Oh, that's interesting insight. Thank you so much. I wanted to also ask about this WAFCON with regards to your group. You're against some formidable opposition, so to speak. I know you guys are the reigning champions, but what have you made of Mali and Ghana and Tanzania and just the group that you're in? And yeah, how do you weigh that opposition and how's it been evaluating that sort of quality of team?
I think no group is easy. You can say it's an easy group, but the playing fields are leveled. You look at how football has grown on the continent. You look how teams have stepped up on the continent. We had two clubs at the CAF Champions League, and a team from TP Mazembe. I mean, TP Mazembe comes and wins it. So everybody is stepping up, and we have to step up even more as defending champions. I think we last played Ghana in 2018. Just before going to the WAFCON, we played them in a friendly. So it will be important for us, to get as much information as we can so that we can prepare, because it's also our first game. And as you know, the first game in any tournament sets a tone for the rest. We had a good start in 2018. We had a good start in 2022. So that could set the tone for us for the rest of the tournament. And we obviously played different in 2022 than we played in 2018. Probably the best football we've played in the tournament, and we didn't win it. So we prepared, so we went about it differently. We wanted to make sure that we win that one game so that we can, rotate the squad and make sure that we have freshness. And then Tembe got injured, and then we had COVID in camp. But it worked out well because the team was so connected and focused. We last played Mali in 2018 when we qualified for the World Cup. We beat them in the semifinals to qualify. So, but that's, years ago. We played Tanzania now last year, February, in the playoffs for the Olympics, and they've also grown as a team. So we're not taking anything for granted, because you underestimate the team at your own peril. The first game of any tournament is probably the most important, because if you don't get a positive result, you're on the back foot all the time. So that's going to be really, really important. And then we'll take it game by game, because we can't look further ahead than what's right in front of us. If you look too far ahead, you lose focus of the task at hand, and we will approach it the same way. We do know as defending champions it's going to be tougher. Nigeria have done it over and over. They've set the benchmark, and that's why they're such a quality side, and multiple serial winners of the WAFCON, because they know how to win it, and they've come always there being the team that you want to beat, of course. And now it's we've got that on our back, going there to defend the title. But if they can do it, who says we can't? But it's going to take a huge effort from everyone. We've started already with preparations and getting footage and all of those things. But we have to be really, really well prepared in superb physical condition, and probably have to go the same way with selection, where we select a squad for every eventuality. So it's going to be key that we get the mix right with the youth and experience, that they get the mix right with the combinations, that we get like for like. All of those things, and then we get players in superb physical condition, because it's going to take that effort. I mean, you looked at the qualifiers for 2026. Already Botswana, who were there, is out. Already Tunisia, who were there at the last AFCON in 2022, got knocked out. So it's not going to be easy at all. So we just have to make sure that we concentrate on ourselves, but we also know what the opposition has to offer.
Yeah, you were speaking about actually something that caught my attention. You were speaking about how the team, you felt has kind of, evolved into like becoming champions over these last few AFCONs. Now being champions, what have you seen? What evolution have you seen from a mental perspective and from a physical perspective from the team since winning the AFCON? Because as you said, you played some quality teams recently, Denmark, England, and you gave them quite a tough time. So. How has the team evolved, would you, in your opinion, as far as since winning
Look,
the AFCON's
you
concert?
look at the World Cup. The World Cup came after AFCON, and I thought Sweden, we did really well and up until that last corner. We had 12, and we really did well up until that last one. We could have gotten a better result out of that. Argentina, we definitely should have beaten them, and we're more disappointed in drawing that game, because it's a game we could have done this magic that we showed against Italy. And I think with the Netherlands, we picked up two really big injuries in the first half, but the goalkeeper was player of the match, so it tells you how well we played. And we will look back in a couple of years' time and we'll say, you know what, we could have won it. Because that was the type of World Cup that, when you look back, you say to yourself, you could not predict a result in any of the matches. It was so unpredictable. And if you went on a run, if you had a little bit of luck and all of those things, we could be talking something different. But it just shows what this group is capable of. And I think the mentality has changed a long time ago. And anybody that comes into the group, you want to inculcate that same work ethic, that same mentality, the same things that we do, so that they understand, how difficult it is and that they have to really put in the effort. We once had a player say to us, the level, the intensity, wow, it's not something that I'm used to. So that is really good for us to have brought in that group. And I said to them, the minute the more experienced players come, the minute the players come from abroad, the intensity goes even higher. We look at how well Jermaine, Tembi, and Hilda is doing out in Mexico. That augurs really, really well for us. And Amogelang Motau was the Hollywood Bets player of the season, also signed in Mexico. So that is good. Linda's gone back to Glasgow City. That is really, really good for us as well. So all our players are doing really, really well, and we're always urging our players, to go abroad, to test the waters, because you see the quality that they bring when they come back. And I think that has really, really helped us with those players, going abroad and getting that experience and bringing it back and showing what they can do and how it can lift the national team. Because I think it's really, really important that we get that mix right, to make sure. Because this one's going to be one where we're going to have to be connected again, where we're going to have to be together again, one mind, one goal, set on what we need to do, and how we need to go about it. So there'll be a lot of strategizing, a lot of get-togethers, a lot of meetings of how we're going to approach this WAFCON. Because 2018 we approached it differently, and 2022 we approached it differently from 2018. So we're going to have to sit down and look at how we're going to approach this with the personnel that we're going to select. So that is going to be very, very key.
From what I'm getting is that a lot of players are moving abroad, and that's also aiding Banyana Banyana. So that's fantastic to hear, and hopefully, more of the girls can go abroad. As far as you're concerned, I know you're still the head coach of Banyana Banyana, but you're very much decorated. You're the most decorated female coach on the continent, perhaps. So, should a opportunity hypothetical opportunity arise abroad, would you be open to taking it?
You never can say what's going to happen. I'm currently employed, so you never can say what's going to happen. Badlu, Coach Rulani, Coach Shaleen have all tested the waters outside of South Africa, and they've raised the levels, that raised the profile of our football, and have done really, really well. So it doesn't mean to say, you can never can say what direction God is going to take you in, because you have to make sure, and that is what the next step is. But like I say, you can't be stagnant. You have to grow, you have to develop, you have to be better. So you never can say what's going to happen next.
Okay,
See,
hopefully you
you're
stay.
putting me under a bit of pressure. You're putting me a bit of under pressure there now, eh?
No, not at all. Not at, I mean, like I said, you're like so decorated. You have accomplished so many things. So it's only natural for people like you to get attention elsewhere, you know. So I just
But you
wanted
also
to.
know, we also know that I don't work alone, eh? I work with a team of very, very good people, very, very good coaches. So it's never just about me. It's always about the whole group because I don't work in isolation. The other coaches play a huge, huge role because of the input and the knowledge and what they bring to the team. Because collectively, you know, we succeed collectively. Not Coach Des alone, but unfortunately, if the team doesn't do well as Coach Des, that's under his mat, you know. But that is what it is. And then not forgetting the players because they really make us look good, you know. Because you can have a plan and then, you know, the plan cannot be executed. But I must say, together, I think we are a good combination with players and coaches because we have to align. And once we align, then it's all focused on that goal that we want to reach.
Yeah, understandably so. Yes, it takes a team. It's no man's island, right? So yeah, that's 110%. A lot of your, I'd say, local based contingent are from Sundown, so to speak. I'm just thinking back to your squads at WAFCON and the World Cup. Were you surprised that they didn't win the Champions League again, or is that just like the likes of TP Mazembe, teams from Egypt, teams from Morocco? Are they raising the level?
You know, everyone on the African continent is starting to step up. You know, it was probably an easy season for Sundowns in terms of the league, winning it by a lot of points. But there was some, you know, difficult games. And when you looked at the Champions League, you could see that this is a different tournament. You know, I remember Coach Tina calling me and saying to me, "I've never experienced this at club level. You know, this is something big." Only time I've experienced something like this is with being with the national team. So that's how high the intensity was and how high the level was. And I think not winning the first game for both Mamelodi Sundowns and UWC, I think set them on the back foot. And then every game is a final. You cannot, you know, make a mistake. You know, if you come back out of that, good and well. But unfortunately, they couldn't. And with Sundowns conceding at the last minute, I think it must have been, you know, for the players themselves, after working so hard to get the lead and to get that result, conceding in the last minutes, I cannot imagine how they would have felt. But I think it will make them stronger going forward. I think they will go back and they'll really work hard because they will represent us again, and I'm sure that they'll do better this time.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope so. Let's hope so. Yes, the team that did win, as TP Mazembe, so their coach, Lamine Bou, sorry,
Lamia,
Bouhamia.
Lamia,
Yes, there we go.
Lamia.
Yes, there
No.
we go. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
She was successful and she won the tournament. And subsequently, the CAF Women's Coach of the Year. Last year was the first time you didn't win it and you weren't even nominated. What did you make of that?
Well, we didn't have a good season as Banyana. You know, Coach T had a really good season and very excited and grateful for her nomination because we always say you never know who's watching. And of course, Lamia winning it was in the front foot. And now I see she's with GR Congo, well, you know, help assisting them as well. So it's great to see female coaches on the continent also getting opportunities and showing and showcasing their talent, you know, because there are many good coaches out there, but it's also the opportunity that you're given. And Lamia has been with Morocco before. So good luck to her and my congratulations to her that another woman just continued from a woman winning the CAF Women's Champion, CAF Women's Coach of the Year.
And how did you feel? How did you feel about it, like not being nominated?
No, I was
Not
really excited. I was really excited for her. I was really excited for Coach T.
okay.
You know, I was excited that, you know, that women's football on the continent is really moving in the right direction. And no disrespect to the males out there because they've played a huge role. We mustn't forget the role that they've played in women's football. But I was really excited to see, you know, Lamia winning it. I think once she won the Champions League, she was always going to be the front runner to win it, you know. But to the men out there, keep doing what you're doing. Your contribution is immense. It doesn't go unnoticed because without you, we wouldn't be where we are.
You've accomplished so much. I mean, yeah, you've been CAF Women's Player, CAF Coach of the Year 4 times in a row. WAFCON winner, been to the World Cup knockout stages. So many things that you've done that nobody else has done before. From a female and a male perspective, you know. So I just want to find out what makes you You know, what gets you up in the morning? Like, do you still have that hunger, like, to achieve more? And what
I'm
goals have you set up
excited.
for yourself?
I'm excited because I work with a group of players that work really hard, you know, that want to succeed. And we are just, like we say, the mouthpieces for them, if you, for a lack of a better word. We are just there to guide them in the right direction, to assist them where we can, to give guidance where we can. But I work with a fantastic group of players, and it's not just a job for me. I love what I do. That's the most important thing. In the past, when I was coaching at club football, I never got paid for it. But now I'm getting paid for something that I love doing, and that's a bonus. You know, that's a bonus. So I'm just excited. I'm excited for what's gonna happen in the future. It's a big year for women's football. You have the WAFCON, you have the final qualifier for WAFCON 2026, which is around the corner as well. So it's a big year for all of us on the continent, you know, and I think it's really important that we go out there and showcase. I mean, you look at the players playing abroad on the African continent, and they're being scouted. More and more players are being scouted for the US League, for the Mexican League, for the European leagues, etc. So it shows that, you know, something is going right on the African continent. The only challenge is that there's so many countries that withdraw, you know, when they enter competitions, and that for me is sad. You know, for countries, and especially for girls and women out there playing football, because they miss out. You look at this WAFCON, the last one. I mean, Malawi didn't enter the qualifiers, didn't enter the Olympic qualifiers, and they are fantastic players playing Europe, playing America, playing on the African continent. And you know, now they're part of the 2026 qualifiers. So given an opportunity, I think women's football on the African continent can rise to greater heights. I think probably, and I'm not want to sound too sexist, but I think a woman's national team probably might win the World Cup before men's national team.
Let's hope so. Fingers crossed.
I hope it doesn't happen that the men win it in 2026.
Yeah,
But if they do, well done to them. You know, well done to them.
definitely, definitely. Coach Hugo Bruce has a high bar to clear, you know.
That's what
So,
I'm that's what I'm saying. Well done to them.
I agree. So yeah. So like, obviously, to anybody that watched the World Cup, and Banyana at the World Cup, Banyana posed the dangerous threat to all teams, especially on the counter attack. Obviously, it wasn't meant to be, being knocked out in the round of 16. But what are some of the, I know we're kind of like looking ahead and past the WAFCON, so to speak, but what are some of the things that can ultimately, you know, be the defining factor in changing and then us being world champions? Because you clearly believe that, you know, it's possible in the near
I
future.
think a professional league is key. We still have a lot of players that have jobs, that go to work, and the clubs train in the evening. I think that is key. You look at the difference with the players coming from abroad, they're full professionals, and you can see the difference, you know. So players still having day jobs because they have to put food on their table. And we spoke about this in 2019 when we came back from the World Cup. We spoke about 2023 when we came back from the World Cup. Can you imagine if you just get up in the morning and all you do is train to get ready for your matches, train to get ready for training, train to get ready for a big competition? Can you imagine where we would be if we were able to do that? Also, the levels will go up because at the moment, from Hollywood bets to international level, there's still a huge gap in terms of intensity, in terms of quality, in terms of all of those things. So if you had a professional league, you'd have the best playing against the best every week. You'd probably get the best foreign talent on the continent coming in, which would make the league better. And I think that would really be a big game changer. But another game changer would be our youth teams play more regularly, and they go to Nigeria. You see it happening with Ghana. You see it happening with Tanzania, where the players go to these global events, and then they systematically go to the next age group, etc. So that would really be big game changers. Maybe more competitions on the continent for your teams. Yes, we have our regional competitions like COSAFA, SACAFA, UNIFAC, WAFU, but maybe more competitions, you know, where national teams can play on a regular basis because the game is the teacher. So if you play regularly, you grow, you develop, you can test players, etc. So I think that would be big game changers.
It's actually kind of sad as well because, yeah, you know, we have so much potential. Clearly, you know, we're giving some big nations a run for their money, and to think it's all without, you know, having a professional league, it speaks volumes to the work you guys are doing. And Hopefully it can come to fruition. So obviously there were some issues just before last day, if I'm not mistaken, with the team and not being happy with the pitch you guys were playing on in Tsakane, and other stuff that was rumored. Has the kind of disruption around the FA affected you guys and your preparation for the WAFCON?
Look, it was a little bit of a blip, but we were always focused on the World Cup. There was rumors that we were going on holiday and all of these things, but we were never going to the World Cup on holiday. We were going there to do something. And we always had the belief, and the players had the belief. And I say, if you're connected and you have one aim and one goal, then you can go somewhere. But it wasn't a great moment, I must be honest. It was a very sad moment and a very demotivating moment, for lack of a better word, because it came at the time when we were happy, when we were all getting ready to go to the World Cup. So it was a bit of a, like they say, a bump in the road, and it took a little bit of while for me personally, to recover from it as well, because it affects people differently. But thankfully, we went to the World Cup, and we were able to achieve, despite all of that that happened before.
It's great to see that it didn't affect you all that much, and you're still able to make history at the world's biggest tournament. And then, just finally, from me, Dr. Desiree Ellis, I just wanted to find out, what obviously you have ambitions of winning the WAFCON, but thereafter, like, what are the targets and that you've placed for yourself from a national team point of view?
We talk about history makers and all of that. I think it's gonna be even bigger than winning it, because it's only been done by Nigeria before, on many occasions. Equatorial Guinea has won WAFCON, but they've never retained it. So this will be like really, really big. I think you won't be able to walk around in the country after that without somebody coming to mob you, without somebody coming to mob the players, of course. Because when we won WAFCON and we came back, we didn't know. I don't think we realized how big it was, until we hit our tambo and saw what it really, really meant. We knew that we'd done something really big, but until you see the smiles on the faces and you see the support and all of that, you then realize really how big it is and the magnitude of it. And I can only imagine how big this would be. So that would be probably the first step. And the next step, obviously, to qualify this year still, to qualify for next year's WAFCON, which doubles up as a World Cup qualifier.
And hopefully you guys can achieve all of this stuff. Dr. Desiree Ellis, I just wanted to thank you so much for your time today. Thank you so much for joining me and my listeners. I'm sure they appreciated it wholeheartedly. And yeah, it's I wish you guys all the best for the future.
And thanks for having me. And just want to say thank you to the fans who always come out in the numbers. We appreciate them. We thank them for their support, and we hope that they can continue supporting the team.
Yeah, so thank you guys listening to this week's episode of the podcast. It's been a pleasure. Like I said again, we're always in the presence of greatness, and I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode with a legendary person, and she gave us some brilliant insight into Banyana's preparations and what to expect from them in the near future. So yeah, oh, a pleasure to her again. Pleasure to you guys. Like I said, if you haven't hit the subscribe button, please do the right thing, and if you hadn't hit the like button, also do the right thing. Yeah, so until we meet next time with another phenomenal guest, good day to you, and yeah, see you next time.